Gurumila Magath Fenton, you're welcome back to The Late Debate. You can contact the programme by text on 51551, email latedebate@rte.ie, and you can follow and engage on Twitter at latedebate.rte. Joining me in studio this evening is Tommy Bruin, an independent candidate in Dublin Bay North. They're all independent this evening. I'll just give you the constituency. Ciarán Perry runs in Dublin Central. Deirdre O'Donovan is a candidate in Dublin Southwest. David McGuinness is in Dublin West, and Brendan Young is in Kildare North. Now, huge gains have been made by independents and others in recent opinion polls, despite being told by establishment parties that voting for independents and small parties could bring instability and chaos. In polls, their support is at 28%. In Dublin, support for small parties and independents stands at 41%. But can independents actually deliver on their promises? That's what we're going to thrash out between now and 11 o'clock. We'll speak in just a moment with Dr. Liam Weeks, who's an expert in this area and in the area of politics in general from the School of Government at UCC. But first of all, can I just go around the table very, very briefly? Can you actually deliver, Deirdre O'Donovan, what you're promising at the doorsteps?
Absolutely, because I've already delivered it in South Dublin County Council, working together with, there's seven of us independent county councillors out of 40. And we recently got the figures. We have...
It's a different ball game though in the council.
But it's no, not at all. It's about working together, and it's about supporting each other and doing politics differently. That's what we've delivered, and that's what we're promising to do better in Dáil Éireann.
Well, it would depend surely on having a deal with the government parties, whoever they may be, at the next election. There's no guarantee what you're promising at the doorsteps will be actually delivered, is there?
Oh no, and people are fully aware of that, and that's why 41% of people are backing independence, because they want a change in government. They want the decency, the kind of principled politics that we are offering. That's what they want.
Despite being a TD for many years, Tommy Bruin, you have been in the Labour Party, obviously. Now you're telling people that party politics is not the way to go. Is that not hypocritical?
No, because I think, first of all, I stood by key principles I had in relation to the blanket bank guarantee. I felt that all of the disastrous economic policies, the cuts, the austerity we've had since 2008, but under this government since 2011, they were all based on the failure, I think, of my former party to adhere to its own principles.
They achieved 95% of their aims.
Well, I mean, I think I remember somebody saying at the conference about whether or not to go into government that the manifesto, which was presented in of the government programme, who was in red, but it should have been in blue, because in fact it was essentially a Fine Gael manifesto, and we can see that with the creation of Irish Water, the household.
Labour will say in a broad way they stabilise the country,
I would say in two areas. You hear on the door every time you open the door. People who say they're delighted to see independence, they want a major independent bloc. They would like us actually to lead the government. That is the kind
because
of
you stand for nothing coherent.
No, but because we do, we want
not altogether.
Well, for example, in relation to health, in relation to the whole, third world kind of situation we have in some of our hospital A&Es, in relation to housing, people are screaming for action. They want an emergency housing program. They want something done about the disastrous circumstances in A&Es around the country. They want resources put into those areas, and they believe, I think, that independents are the only people maybe with a coherent view of approaching those issues and dealing with them.
Well, is that fair, David McGuinness? Because you were also a party man. You were Fianna Fáil for many years in your constituency in Dublin West. But is it fair to say that you were turfed out by the party locally? You didn't get the candidacy, so you left.
Well, I stuck around actually after the selection convention. Look, I've served in Fianna Fáil since 2009. I left after the selection convention, but I stuck around for a good 2-3 months after that. My difficulty, of course, was that the direction of the party is taken in Dublin does not reflect the needs of the families living in Dublin. And it's quite simple that, you know, in an opinion poll where Fianna Fáil is at between 9 and 11% and independents are at 41%, the public aren't lying to people. They're telling us that they want to see something new and something different. And what I did, well, I might have turned my back on a party, but I've never turned my back on the community. And that's what comes true. When people go independent, they stick
saying,
by the people that they represent.
What you're saying now is what Fianna Fáil is saying. Fianna Fáil says again and again, we want a decent society, we want a fairer system, we want public services. That's exactly what you're saying.
Well, look, every politician has to set out their stall in an election campaign. You know, I put my money where my mouth is. I have 7 years experience on the council of helping people. So ultimately, you put yourself before the people, and there you're, you know, they're going to judge you on your track record in your community.
Fianna Fáil has a history of since 1926 or seven. So where do you, I mean, if you're putting your track record on the table, they can put a long, long history on the table as well, surely.
Well, if you look at what Fianna Fáil stand for in the leader debate the other night, when it came to the issue of cronyism, they can't even justify their acts that they had when they had power, when they looked after their own pals. We've seen that at the moment, the current government, where Joan Borton looked after David Begg into a position, and it's actually probably going to cost her seat, her style. Same with Fine Gael when they look after their own.
You were in Fianna Fáil,
and I make the broader point. It's a cultural issue with party politics.
You brought up cronyism. You were happy with it when you were in Fianna Fáil.
I wasn't happy with it. I got elected in 2009. The party was out in 2011.
When you were in Fianna Fáil, there was never a peep out of you about cronyism.
Of course, it was absolutely a peep out of me. When we came out of power in 2011, at the time when I was in Fianna Fáil, what I noticed was an exodus of the people canvassing for the party. A lot of them were part of the legal profession. And what I say to people on their doors is, when you're canvassed from a party, ask the canvassers what profession they're from and what's in it for them. Because for me, party politics is a fast track raising yourself up in your own particular area of employment. And for me, that's just a step too far. And I have raised these concerns countless times. I've also raised the issue of the universal social charge been levied on people in this country, and I felt that Fianna Fáil could never deal with that. And as an independent, people say, all we want for you to do is to raise your voice in our community for the needs of our families.
Okay, let me bring in Ciarán Perry, if you don't mind, for just 1 second. What are you telling people, Ciarán, at the doorsteps? Why or how can you convince people that you can deliver where a party can't?
What we're offering, my team, myself, are offering people is a viable alternative to the politics that have dominated the state for almost 100 years, whereby a golden circle and their cronies were prioritised. What we're asking people now is to vote for an alternative where the ordinary people would benefit, the majority of people, as opposed to the minority.
How would they?
Because the politics that we portray is the complete inverse of what has happened previously.
But if you're voted a TD, what difference will that make?
Well, as we can see with the current Dáil, the progressive left in the Dáil have been a very significant opposition. With the figures that we're looking at currently, that will increase even more significantly. And if we have the likes of Sinn Féin, who I would consider a progressive force, that's a very serious amount of progressives in the Dáil. And I think it's going to force politics in Ireland to change. And like when we're knocking on doors, we're pushing at an open door in people's opinion.
What combination that you see in opinion polls, what combination of parties coming together and with possibly independence would work as a government in your opinion, where you would have influence?
Well, I think I've made it fairly clear that I won't work with any of the austerity parties, be it Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil or Labour. So any of the other, obviously Renew being a right-wing party, we wouldn't have anything to do with them.
Well,
but
then,
the majority of others,
you won't have any influence.
If there's a significant cohort of independents that we could work with, if there's Sinn Féin, the likes of Social Democrats, that's a very...
How likely is that?
Judging by the opinion polls, probably as likely as a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil government.
I'll come to Dr. Liam Weeks, but I have to speak with Brendan Young, who's the last panellist. Liam Weeks in just a second, but Brendan Young, again, the same question to you. Can you really deliver on any of the promises that you're making at the doorsteps?
Well, it depends what you're promising. The promises being made by the mainstream parties at the moment are complete fantasy land, absolute fantasy land. They're making predictions of 4 years hence of 3% growth per year. You can't predict 4 months, not to mind 4 years. So we're not in the business of making those sort of promises. We're in the business of actually attempting to organise, and with a track record of organising with people, both on a local and a national basis. And the example of the water charge movement is very significant in this regard. A whole raft of measures in relation to water charges have been rolled back by the strength of the mobilisations, but also the laudable unwillingness of people to not pay. I think non-payment is now at a real figure of just under 50%. I'm advocating that people continue to boycott the water charge, to not pay it. If they have not paid, sustain that. If they have paid, park the bill, because that's the only thing that will guarantee that the thing is abolished. Now, that has brought real change. We need to look at how we mobilise in relation to housing. The current programme of the government is absolutely not going to resolve
the
housing
problem. Okay, and I'll ask you how you would affect change in that regard in just a moment. But a number of your texts, 51551, Tommy in Wicklow says, "Hi, in my personal view, a vote for an independent is a wasted vote and they are there for parish pump and personal reasons. A good few independents are ex-party members who threw their toys and soothers out of the pram when the heat got too much in the kitchen," he says. Let me bring in Dr. Liam Weeks from the School of Government at UCC. We have various independent candidates here in the studio, Liam, at the moment. We have support for independence, which stands at 28% in various opinion polls at the moment, but not all of those, not all of the 28% would play or have an influence in the next government if independence were needed. Is that not the case?
Yes, plus Cormac, I'd say that 28% is not actually all for independence. That includes the smaller parties like Social Democrats, Renew and so on. So for independence, it's about 14%. Now, we might say that's only 14%. I would just say that the last election in 2011, they got 11%. That was the first ever election in any democracy since 1950 that independence got more than 10%.
Democracy in Ireland or...?
In the world.
That's astonishing.
There are more independents at the moment, Cormac, in the Irish Parliament than all other parliaments in any democracy put together. And, you know, we don't have a very big parliament.
Sorry, give me that again.
There were more independents in the Irish Parliament than all other democratic parliaments combined.
The
very fact what you're having a show that's devoted solely about independence, you wouldn't have this in any other democracy. I mean,
why is that, Liam?
There's a number of things. I mean, the first thing is we have a very candidate-centred voting system. It's probably actually the most candidate-centred voting system, really, in Europe. Only one other country in the world uses the same voting system to elect their parliament, and that's Malta. And, you know, so most countries, you have a system whereby you vote for a party, but we don't. You know, we have a ballot paper that focuses on the candidate.
So you're saying that transfers is the key for independence, is that right?
No, because actually what you find from previous elections, Cormac, is that independents don't transfer to each other, or rather I would say people who vote for an independent don't always transfer. Now, you see, in the past that was because there may not have been a lot of independents. This might change at this election.
So when you say we have a candidate-centred voting system, what do you mean? Why does that benefit the independents we have?
It's a candidate-centred system also working with a candidate-centred political culture. What it means, Cormac, is in other countries, the conflict and the political competition is about parties and about party policies, party platforms, party manifestos. That's not the case in Ireland. We know from election studies, one of the key things for a voter when it comes to making a decision is really if they've met the candidate. So really, it's very much about actually candidate and about local politics in Ireland. I'll give you a stat, for example. At the last election, more than 50% of voters had met at least one candidate. In contrast, in the likes of Spain, only 14% could name a candidate, let alone had met one. So we have a different kind of system where in other countries, it's more national politics, it's about the party. In Ireland, it's very much about the local person. And because it's about the local person, it means if you don't have a party label, you're not at a major disadvantage.
But Liam, some of the independents here, some of the commentators have said that the rise in support for independence is because that the public is sick and tired of party politics and is cynical about parties in Ireland. Is that not the case then?
I'd agree, Cormac. And the unusual, I mean, let's be honest, there is a kind of cynicism about parties in a lot of democracies at the moment. We only have to see the anti-party mood fueling support for Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump. Really, anti-party mood fueling support for Syriza in Greece, Podemos in Spain, UKIP in the UK and so on. I could name parties in most countries. Where Ireland is different is that, because of course what happens in Europe, when you're angry with the party, you have no choice but to vote for a new party. In Ireland, they vote for independence. I think really it's part of this populist streak across Europe. So you might see again populist parties like the National Front in France, or like, I suppose, UKIP in the UK. In Ireland, see, we don't have very ideological politics in Ireland, Comrade. People don't. I know the media are obsessed about left and right. Irish voters don't. So that's why most countries now in Europe have an extreme right party. We don't have an extreme right party in Ireland. So one of the reasons, I suppose, motivating this support for independence is that populist streak that we see elsewhere, but it's manifested in a kind of almost like uniquely Irish expression.
Before I go back to the panel, Liam, you wrote an article, I think in the Irish Times recently, where you say you bust some myths in terms of independence. You say it's not difficult to form a government with independence, it's not unstable, and they can be good for the political system.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, everyone's on about instability, and I just like to state some of the facts. So, for example, the argument is, if we have a government dependent on independence, it's going to be short-lived. Not so. Of all the governments in Ireland that have needed independence, the average length of such governments has been almost 3 years. That's not much shorter than the average majority government.
But is that a fair comparison, Liam? Because they've only needed just a handful of independence in the past. That may not be the case now.
Oh, of course, come. I mean, let's be honest, numbers are going to dictate. If it's going to need 15 independents, I'd agree. The most independence they needed has been 6 or 7. Back in 1948, actually, they needed the support of 8 independents. Independents actually managed to get a minister at the cabinet table. That was James Dillon. I mean, I'm always reluctant, come, to rule anything out in Irish politics. You know, if the numbers dictate, and if it also depends who the independents are. I'm guessing that's why the likes of Shane Ross has formed an independent alliance, to provide the idea that we can be some kind of a coherent, stable group.
Okay, and finally, before I let you go, is this, you were telling me that this is a phenomenon, really, in Ireland, the rise in independence, far more than in other countries. But can you profile the voter that's likely to vote independent? Can they be categorised in any way?
It used to be the case up until recently that it was going to be someone who was very much focused on just the locality. What I've looked at the background, you see, because it's very difficult to speak of independents as if they are a homogenous group. They're not. You know, we could have people voting for independence for left-wing reasons, let's say, in parts of Dublin, or in Waterford voting for John Halligan. I would imagine some people voting for the likes of Shane Ross aren't all left-wing. We could have people voting for the Healy, Rays and Kerry for entirely different reasons. So because the candidates are so different, it's very difficult to find one uniform reason. One thing I found, again, Cormac, indicating how different Irish politics is this anti-political, anti-party sentiment that you said. There is a kind of standard measure done about distrust of parties in Europe. Again, Ireland tops the table there. We Irish people just simply are not as close to parties. They simply don't like parties. They dislike parties. Far more people do than in other European countries. That's about the only really characteristic. Because the candidates are so different, we don't see any uniform characteristics across the voters.
Okay, Dr. Liam Weeks of UCC, thank you very much indeed for joining us and giving your insight to the programme this evening. Let me return to the panel. Tommy Bruin, one of his points there is that you're not all the same. Not all the independents obviously stand for the same aims and the same principles. So perhaps the likes of Shane Ross and the Independent Alliance, and we have two of them in the panel this evening, maybe they're in a better position to negotiate because they can sing off the same hymn sheet. They're one block.
Yeah, well, I suppose, you know, they have to make their own decisions. I mean, in the 31st Dáil, it has to be said, though, the vast bulk of independents and indeed the smaller parties worked together very cohesively, you know, across a range of national legislation, very often very important, you know, national scandals, a lot of national issues, and they worked together very, very well. I mean, I'm a Right to Change independent. I would liaise with people who would have a similar, you know, broad left of centre views, who would be very anti-austerity, and as I said, would like to see dramatic changes in relation to, you know, policy failures in housing and health and so on. But I mean, I think your previous contributor, I mean, he's given the example, I suppose, the 1948 government was quite an interesting one where independence took a very significant role in, you know, how the government actually
But if we bring it back to today, is, for example, David McGuinness, you're in the Independent Alliance. Are you in a better position than Tommy Bruin, for example? Because the dominant party, based on the opinion polls, is likely to be Fine Gael followed by Fianna Fáil, followed by Sinn Féin. But if it is Fine Gael, are you in a better position because of who you're hanging around with as an independent?
Well, look, that was a conscious decision because obviously as a councillor, as an independent, and people would say, you know, we do fear that you're out on your own and you don't have that clout. So I was very conscious of that. And now I appease people and say, look, I'm working with Shane Ross and Finian McGrath and Fergal Quinn as the chairperson, and that hits home. But let me say an interesting thing about Liam Weeks's analysis. If you look at, like, I've experienced by-elections in Dublin, and what I witnessed actually was political parties pulling back from even advertising themselves as political parties, and the candidates were seen as ordinary people. What I'm saying is party logos on billboards have been reduced to infinitesimal sizes.
You can barely see them.
You don't see any kind of colour scheme.
Not Jack Chambers in Fianna Fáil.
Absolutely, it's really small. Look at the background of the poster.
Chambers, whenever I've heard him, whenever I've seen his literature, Fianna Fáil is emblazoned on it. He's quite proud, it seems, to be the Fianna Fáil candidate in your constituency.
I'm making the point that I've contested 2 by-elections for the party. You could barely read the Fianna Fáil logo. The colour scheme did not strike you as being from a party that you recognised. And that's the same then for Labour, for the Labour Party in the 2014 by-election when Lorraine Mulligan ran for the Labour Party. Again, you could not distinguish what party that person was running from. So maybe this is a Dublin phenomenon. Perhaps that's why 41% of Dubliners are going independent. But I'm saying this is something that's creeping into the political landscape for a long time.
You say it was a conscious decision to join the Independent Alliance. Was it with a view to forming some kind or having some kind of influence in the formation of the next government?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, there's a lot of people in perpetual opposition, and the problems that this country faces, of which they are numerous. For example, the housing crisis, which, of course, there's almost 1,600 children living in hotel rooms at the moment, dealing with issues like the public services not being well maintained, our trolley crisis in A&Es. All of those things need a voice within government to deal with. And we can all go into opposition and absolutely enjoy ourselves in opposition criticising governments. But there are those of us who want to make a difference.
But Ciarán Perry, you must be sick that David McGuinness is calling himself an independent then, because he's willing to sup with the devil, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in your eyes.
Two brief comments on that comic. One, just in reply to Liam's comments about no left or right divide in Irish society in general. I disagree totally with that. On the doorsteps, people are extremely politicised over the last 5 to 7 years. We find people making conscious decisions to support policies like the right to change for political reasons, not because it's some well-known independent. Like pointing out, independents on Dublin City Council were the second largest group at the previous election. My own area, I topped the poll as an independent. So people aren't afraid of independence.
No, hold on. That's obvious because you're at 41% in Dublin, 28% nationally. But my question to you is about the tag independence. When you see the likes of Deirdre O'Donovan and David McGuinness in the Independent Alliance and they say, yes, we would be willing to work with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, does that, as an independent, you're lumped in with them, make you sick?
No, because my politics aren't dependent on electoralism, right? If we look at we are where we are now, the strength of opposition to the government based primarily on the water tax campaign, which was a street-based campaign, that's where the power of the people actually lie, on the streets, in the houses, in the communities.
The power is not in cabinet, surely.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Cabinet is who imposed.
Brendan has already made the point that we've forced them back on numerous issues over the water tax. Numerous issues. That's where the power is. And
like what?
We can. They were going to put the water down to a trickle. They backed down on that immediately. They were going to charge per use. Now that's put off till some time
well,
in
answer,
3,000.
Answer a very simple
there's
question.
Too simple.
Answer a very simple question. Do you pay water charges? Do they have to pay water charges now?
No.
They do?
They don't.
According to the law, they do.
I don't. I haven't.
Well, that's a different issue.
50% of households in the country.
The law of the land, as it stands, unless you get it repealed, is that you have to pay water.
It will be repealed.
Okay, that remains to be seen. But Brendan Young, you say that the power stands within the Department of Finance. To get the levers of power there, you have to have access to cabinet.
There is some truth in that. But who influences the key decisions? You know, the clearinghouse group was meeting in the department of the Taoiseach with the most central people in the administration of the state in the preparation of the budget. You know, those people have direct access because they're part of the finance system. So, as Ciarán says, you can also influence these things on the street. With regard to the water charge, there was no €100 grant in the legislation. There was a requirement of personal details. And now, the point at which it rises from the current reduced charge to the full charge was to be 2019. That is being deferred to 2021. That's what the government parties are talking about. That's an acknowledgement that it's unenforceable.
But can I put now, to you, some people who will vote independent on Friday will think, I am voting for change.
Yes.
But if you look around the table, you have Deirdre O'Donovan and David McGuinness as an example.
Yeah.
And they make no bones about it. They say, I will work with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And but I'm not judging.
Whoever the
people's
decision is.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm not judging.
Be boxing
of course, of course. But I'm basing
you're
it on...
You're prejudging what the people are going to decide.
No, I said I'm basing it
you
on opinion polls.
You keep throwing out
yes,
Fianna Fáil
because I'm using the opinion polls that we've had successively for months now as an example.
Well, thank you for using those because some people want to discount independence as a part of this process.
No, I have said time and time again, based on the opinion polls, that the Independent Alliance will, if the opinion polls are right, work with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, and then down the line Sinn Féin. That's
well,
we're interested in being in government.
That's the point. The whole reason that we're doing this is to be in government. We're not interested in, I know the Anti-Austerity Alliance have no interest in being in government. I'm not doing this as an independent, as a mother of two with a small credit union loan. I'm not doing this for the crack. And just to go back to the point of left and right politics, I'm not left, I'm not right. I'm just struggling. And I'm just tired of struggling. And I'm representing the people of my community who are in the same position. I have no background in politics before the 2011 election. And it's I think it's very important, as Ciarán has said, the political landscape has changed completely. And that's why we need ordinary, decent people like myself in government and representing ordinary decent people like myself who have no voice to
the left
or to the right.
Would you accept that some people may vote independent believing that they're throwing Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil out of power, but not if they're voting for your type of independence?
That's precisely the point.
Brendan Young.
That's precisely the point. People have to look at what they're voting for and who will go into coalition with the parties of austerity. And part of my literature, I've put a challenge out both to the Social Democrats, because they're in the constituency, and to Sinn Féin. Will you put Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael back into office? And it's the same challenge is to the Independent Alliance. They do want to go into government, actually, but it depends on the politics of the government. Your politics is more of the same. No difference whatsoever.
But you can't choose the
more
of
the same.
Brendan Young, your point is,
if you go into government with Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, you will work to their agenda. The Labour Party claimed that they were going to not be a mudguard and they were going to make a huge difference. They had 33 TDs and look what they had done. They voted through all of the austerity measures. They piled cut upon cut and misery upon misery on ordinary people. And if ye think in some fantasy land that you're going to shift Fine Gael's trajectory, you're wrong.
I'm asking people to vote independent. I'm not asking anybody to vote for Fine Gael, for Labour, for Fianna Fáil or any other party. In my world, I actually think that it should be politics of the people, for the people.
But Brendan's point is you would support Fianna Fáil.
But the point I'm making is like you cannot choose what type of democracy you want to take part in and what you want to dismiss. It basically is that we're all engaged in this process. There will be 158 deputies in the next Dáil, and what we need to do coherently as citizens of this state is to run this country for the next 5 years.
Tommy Bruin.
I mean, Fintan O'Toole, I think, has written eloquently about the coming into existence of Fianna Gael, this kind of long process whereby these two, basically the A team and the B team from the local, if you like, the national club, because they've had pretty much identical policies. Fine Gael with Labour's, you know, mudguard support, have carried on the same policies that, you know, Fianna Fáil initiated in 2008. You know, nothing has changed. Some of the personnel changed. So Fianna Gael or Fianna Fáil, F-I-N-E-F-A-F-I-L, are coming into existence. I mean, that's what he feels, because if you look at their combined polls, even the recent better polls, you're talking about 50%. I mean, I think independents should stick together.
I agree with that. I think that's the whole essence of sticking together here tonight.
Well, I think it does depend on the politics. Yeah, it does. Absolutely.
So who on the panel tonight would you not stick with?
Well, I feel independence, you know, I've been an independent for, I suppose, 4.5, 5 years. I've worked very closely with
Who on the panel tonight would you not stand shoulder to shoulder with, as an independent?
I feel I have an empathy with independence. I think it's very important. As I said, there is that bloc, these two big Conservative parties, you know, they're coming down under the 50% mark. And I think it's very important that particularly those of us who felt that we want to get rid of austerity, we want different, we want a different approach, you know, that we have to look for a leading, you know, to lead things. That's the way we should be thinking.
Yeah,
rather than in any way kind of propping up the old policies.
Hold on, but the likes of Deirdre and David McGuinness, they're in Independent Alliance, and they would say, look, we're engaging in the process, in the real democratic process, the cards that may be dealt, if you're looking at opinion polls again. Whereas you, as an independent, you're standing outside no matter
which way the cards are. I think like, again, and I think you've said that eloquently as well, that a lot of people on left of centre who are at city council, and I was very honoured to be a city councillor for 12 years. I mean, you want to be able to exercise power. You want to be able to change things. I think that's what we want. But we need to get to a position of strength. I think that's the point. For example, you mentioned about the water taxes. I mean, I was calling on Kenny for the last maybe 4 years or whatever to have a referendum on this. Well, Friday is the referendum, and I think you know, if enough anti-austerity independents are elected, hopefully we begin to see the end of those taxes. So
I need to take Brendan Young.
You have to deal with the question. Are you calling on people to declare that they will not form a coalition with the parties of austerity? And I think you have to make that call, because you have to start, and I think we have to start, and I agree with Ciarán, the process of building an alternative to the Labour Party that will not be a prop to either the Bill and Ben politics of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Look at Stephen Kinsella's analysis in the Business Post of the manifestos. They're broadly the same. So there's no point in attempting to build a serious, genuine opposition that's an alternative, that actually, not at this government, but the following one, is in a position to form an administration.
Power for the sake of power.
So, Ciarán,
we want to replace
the Labour
Party. Power for the sake of power, Cormac, is not what I'm about, certainly. Like, if I'm lucky to be elected, my mandate will be a leftist mandate from the people. When I'm knocking on doors, what I'm selling to them, what I'm trying to convince them, is an alternative vision of society where it's based on for the benefit of the majority, not for the golden circle.
Well, I think if we've done one thing in the first half of the programme is that voting, if you think voting for an independent is the same throughout, it's absolutely nonsense, because Ciarán Perry, you don't necessarily want power. David McGuinness, you're an independent, but you would do deals with the traditional parties. Brendan Young, you're an independent, but you want to build an alternative on the left. So do you, Tommy Bruin. And Deirdre O'Donovan, you're the same as David McGuinness. You are, you believe to be fair and independent, but you also would deal with the traditional parties. You are all chalk and cheese, as far as I can see on the panel so far. 51551. Let's hear from Joe in Wexford, who says, if you vote for political parties, you get the whip system, which interferes with the duty of representatives to represent their constituents as they would wish to be represented. Brendan in Dublin says, independents can only influence government decisions by threatening blackmail for the benefit of their constituents and their constituents only. This is what will happen if stable government is dependent on the goodwill of independents. We might come back to that in just a moment. Please ask your guests what they will propose if there is another global recession, something many economists fear is imminent, says John in Kilcullen. John Finnegan in Ballyborough says, the dogs in the street know it's the mandarins in civil service who will run the country and not the politicians. And Oliver Genty finally says, in the real world, if the unions don't agree with policies, things get watered down or not implemented. I'm discussing tonight with Tommy Bruin of Dublin Bay North, TD, Ciarán Perry, Dublin Central, Deirdre O'Donovan in Dublin South West, David McGuinness of Dublin West, and Brendan Young of Kildare North, the fortunes of independent candidates as the election approaches. We'll take a break. Brigade Fáilte Leis Chuig on Late Debate at RT Radio 1. We're discussing, we're debating with independent candidates and Tommy Bruin, who's a candidate but also a TD, about the prospects for independence and what their aims are and if they can actually deliver post-Friday, post the election. One texter mentioned blackmail. That has been the accusation levelled against this late independent TD, and we'll discuss that issue, the blackmail, after this.
I'm very sorry. I forgot to give you this cap, and when I'm inviting you down to Kerry in case we get a shower or rain, I want you to have that cap from Quill's Millswear in Killarney, a famous
Quill's
cap.
Millswear in Killarney.
Yes.
Do you ever take your cap off?
Oh, you can be quite certain I do here.
In Dáil Éireann, do you take it off?
Every day.
And you wouldn't take it off for the Late Show?
That's the late Jackie Healy-Ray, TD for South Kerry, a man Ciarán Perry accused very often of blackmailing the country, of holding the country to ransom. There was never a cap on his demands for South Kerry. Are you all the same?
Absolutely not. Cormac, I think that slur has to be nailed, that somehow or other independent is synonymous with parochialism. If anything, the parties are much worse at parochialism than independents. If you take an example of the progressives in the Dáil, the current independent progressives, the likes of Claire Daly, Paul Murphy, Mick Wallace, Richard Boyd, Barrett, like, none of them could be accused of parochialism. The ones, possibly the independents on the right, but every
single party. What about Tony Gregory?
Tony Gregory was, again, a community activist for a huge amount of years, working on the ground, and he had an opportunity to better a seriously disadvantaged, probably the most disadvantaged community in the whole of the country.
Tony Gregory and his constituency probably would not have got the millions he got if he wasn't in that position.
Absolutely.
As an independent
I fully agree, but I wouldn't consider that parochialism.
Why not?
That was a tackling disadvantage in the, most...
Jackie Healy raised the same roads.
But come on. To be fair, like Tony was a national politician as well. I mean, he highlighted the ravages of drugs in, you know, in Dublin, Limerick and other cities. Mm. I mean, that was a consistent
unique.
But hold on now, this sounds like a Dublin TDs talking about Dublin demands and Dublin constituencies. If you had any of the Healy Rays on the panel tonight, they would say, look, what about the deprivation in South Kerry? What about the deprivation in Kerry?
It wasn't compatible with what was happening with inner city Dublin. Nothing countrywide was comparable during that era.
What about now?
I wouldn't agree with a similar deal.
What about the exodus from South Kerry, for example, or Mayo, or Donegal?
Absolutely.
Immigration is rampant.
Absolutely.
Or Connemara, the lack of investment there for years and years and years.
And should be tackled nationally.
But sure, how can you tackle it nationally when it hasn't been done over the last 20 or 30 years?
Because that's political choices. The government, the previous set of governments, have made the political choices not to tackle that, in as much as they haven't... they made conscious political decisions not to tackle housing, not to tackle homelessness.
But if there was a good enough independent candidate in any of those rural areas, surely they have as much right to demand for their now than as Tony Gregory did.
If the government were delivering, it wouldn't be up to independents to have to step in there and bridge the gap. That's the point. And, you know, I think after the last general election and after the local elections in 2014, the massive number of independents that were elected... A lot of them, like myself, coming from a community background, and I have no illusions about the fact that people weren't necessarily voting for me. They were voting against what was in there. But we have shown we can deliver. We have shown that we are credible and that we are an actual alternative to the government.
But is it blackmail,
Deirdre? Sorry, no, because for a lot of us with a community background, it is not what's in it for us. It's what's in it for the community. That's the difference.
Yeah, but
and that's what's turning people on to independence.
The point is, are you blackmailing a national government and a national parliament for your backyard?
No, because my background is community volunteering. If you invest in communities throughout the country, the entire country benefits.
But you're missing the point there. If the government, if the main parties, for example, Fine Gael and Labour, for example, if they fall short by six or seven, they make sweet deals with six or seven people. Now, if you're one of them, you will make demands of them
If they're coming to the Independent Alliance and they have to sign up to the Charter for Change, one of the core values there is political reform, the end of cronyism. So that's not going to be an issue.
So nothing for your constituents? especially?
No, it's not a case of nothing for my constituents. It's for the benefit of the of all communities throughout the country.
Yeah, I understand
and
that.
That's what it has. So
let's be clear on this. The Independent Alliance. Am I right in saying this, David McGuinness? If a person is thinking of voting for the Independent Alliance on a Friday, and if the Independent Alliance ends up in a situation where they can broker a deal with the prospective government, there will be nothing in it for David McGuinness's constituents, especially.
But look, if I'm elected on Friday for the people of Dublin 15 and the Navan Road, I fight on all the issues I continue to fight for in our national parliament. That's not the issue. The point is, in our engagement with a government, there are no sweet deals. We want to stop people, political party insiders, getting jobs on state boards. We want to see the way that the Oireachtas works fundamentally change with the whip system and the appointment of the Attorney General. We want to see rural Ireland getting some representation. We want to see that the banks and the culture of banking in this country changes before any privatisation. We want to stop discrimination in our communities. For example, when children try to get into their local school. We want to see small businesses better represented in National Parliament. There are many other areas. People with disabilities don't have a voice. What we're saying is we want to see that governments in this country can actually represent the people in
everyone.
Our communities.
And that's fair enough. That's fair enough. All I want to know is that if you're in that position, that there was going to be nothing specifically in it for the people on the Navan Road. That's all I want to know. Something nationally for the betterment of all. But nothing specifically for the people of the Navan Road. That's what you're saying.
But the point is, I will campaign on issues in my community. For example, reduce Garda numbers. It has national implications. Mm. The fact that my A&E regularly has too many people on trolleys.
But you will be saying if Garda figures are down in Galway or Kerry or Donegal, send them there first, not the Navan Road.
I will campaign for a Garda service that's fit for purpose, where taxpayers' money is going into a service to police this state properly and keep people safe in the communities. My community will benefit from that in the Dublin 15 and the Navan Road.
They won't, nationally.
Yes, it will, because it'll be a national programme and the dividend locally will be proportional to the rest of the country.
No, not unless the Garda Commissioner decides, having got the extra resources, well, do you know what? We shouldn't have closed the rural Garda stations. We're going to reopen them instead of apportioning a number of extra Gardaí on the Navan Road.
Well, the point is, I'm going to make a case for my community like every other politician will make, but it won't be a deal breaker in trying to support a government. That's the point.
So you will be looking for a sweet deal.
Stand up for my community. It's absolutely not. It's fighting for your own thing. But the point is, in terms of forming a programme for government, you don't put sweeteners on the table for your own patch.
You won't get them.
But the point is, every politician should stand up for their community. That's what they're elected to do in the first place.
The way politics works in this country is unless you put the sweet deal on the table, you won't get it.
No, that has failed in the past.
But it's failed. And that's why and that's why we're doing things differently. That's the whole point.
Are you naive, though?
But within parties,
no, I don't think
Cormac.
I'm naive. I think, like so many, like 41% of the people of Dublin who are planning to vote on Friday, I've had enough. It has to change. We have to change the way we do politics.
You're going to do a deal with the same parties again.
They're going under to have to change.
They will have to change and sign up to our charter for change. That's the whole point.
So the tail is changing the dog. You won't have the power to change the big party.
Well, if they're not interested, well then it's more of the same.
Well, that's the point, Brendan.
And the electorate will see that.
Sure, that's the point Brendan Young is making.
Sure,
He says you're naive if you think you can change the big guns of Irish politics.
So we just
give them the keys to the country and we say off you go. Continue with the cronies.
Brendan,
continue jobs for the boys and the best of luck to you.
No. We want to change all of that. But in order to change all of that, we need to organise. And independents who do want change will have to work together. But it'll be on the basis of political agreement. It can't be on the basis of simply getting something for your own constituency or something for your own area. Unemployment in North Kildare cannot be resolved in North Kildare. The crisis in the Naas Hospital will not be resolved at the level of Naas. There's a national, statewide solution necessary for that.
What about the Gregory deal?
Well, the Gregory deal was beneficial to some people in the inner city, but the downside of that was the Haughey administration. And the Haughey administration and subsequent ones closed 3,000 beds, and subsequently we've a huge problem in the health service. So I'm I'm not in favour of those local deals.
But
I don't think
Teacht like, na Dála means that you leave your locality, you go to the Dáil and you bring the people's message from your locality to a national parliament. Yeah. And if you can, you deliver for those people. But if you're talking, if you're leaving Kildare North, you're going to Dublin every day and you're talking about the wider implication, the macroeconomic picture of Ireland, you're delivering nothing for
but
the people
it,
of Kildare
problem,
North.
Isn't it?
On the contrary, you have to look at, you cannot deal, you mentioned earlier on, unemployment in the West. Am I unconcerned about people in the West? No. Am I more concerned about somebody in Selbridge than somebody in Lucan, which is in a different constituency? No. I'm concerned about the welfare of ordinary people, and I think that's what we have to address. Ordinary people in Selbridge will benefit from a generalised change.
How will somebody in Selbridge benefit if you're talking about the concerns of people in Derry and Darragh or Lesser-Mord in Connemara? How?
Because they're the same concerns. People living on benefits in Selbridge or people on low incomes in Selbridge have a similar experience to those in the west of Ireland.
Okay, now let's break this down again. Let's discuss crime. And you say, God almighty, we should never have closed rural Garda stations in County Mayo. Let's reopen them again. How does that benefit people in Selbridge?
You could have... crime will not be dealt with by having a Garda on every street corner. That mostly gives people a sense of safety and comfort. But you only have to look at, you know, the situation in the United States, where there's a much heavier police presence and a much more aggressive police activity. If there is big inequality, if there is poverty, if there is a market for stolen goods because of shortages, then you will have crime, and you could have a Garda outside my own house who's broken into several months ago. It won't be resolved if there was a Garda on every estate. Now, I can understand people wanting to have access and to see Gardaí around the place. Fine, but the question of crime is a much broader issue. It's interesting to look at what's happened in the recent, the various gun battles and crime, gang battles. I mean, that has largely to do with the amount of money that's available from the drugs trade. So we have to address the question of the drugs trade,
well, can I put it
not
to you,
simply the question of the outcome of the drugs
can
trade.
Can I put it to you, we have a huge number of texts, but can I put it to you, Tommy Broome, we have five independent candidates on the panel this evening. Do you believe that, and no sweet deals among any of them. Do you
I'll
believe
deal
that,
with Tommy.
Yeah, do you believe that all independent candidates are the same?
Well, first of all, I mean, I think you're ignoring the actual way political parties behave. And I mean, I do have a long experience of that in my own life. I mean, in political parties, you would get people working for their own, you know, absolutely, you know, parish area and their own constituency area.
So,
and looking, exactly. And looking for
delivery. Stroke policies.
Looking for delivery of certain things. And
you'd
then
say they were needed there, of course.
And then appearing with ministers and so on and so forth and saying we got that new factory or we got that new school or whatever. So, I mean, backbenchers, I mean, that's the tradition of how the major conservative parties have behaved down through the decades, down through the parliament. So, you can, I think, exaggerate that from the other side. It might get more publicity coming through the
independence section, and that's a fair point. Martin in Port Loriga says, after watching the debate last night, I feel you have the answer as to why people are voting independent. All the mainstream parties appeared tired and jaded without one original idea. Perhaps they were coached to death. Very unnatural, he says. Anne in Dublin, if making a change in this country from the tribes, then so be it. Irish people cried out for change, which we were promised in 2011, and we were betrayed, she says. Another texter, these lads are a complete joke. They seek to be elected as lawmakers and yet are openly telling the public to break the law by not paying bills. Hypocrites, says one texter. Another one, the 1948 government was very interesting, all right. It was 68 years ago. Come on, lads, cop on, says that texter. And finally, Bernard in Blackrock says, Cormac, the leaders' debate last night was a great advertisement for independence, he says. But can I ask you all very briefly, how are you all paying for this? You don't have the backing of a party machine, Ciarán. You don't have party structures behind you. You don't have party donations to the party that are then funneled out to Ciarán Perry. How are you funding all of this?
I fund this through my council expenses and council payment. I'm lucky to be working full-time in a relatively well-paid job, so I use all my council money to fund all my election campaigns. And we do fundraisers, pub quizzes, race nights to make up the difference.
To the tune of how much? How much in council expenses do you put towards this?
Everything. What's
the figure?
Well, we'll spend probably about 10,000 to 15,000.
Surely those council expenses are for representing the people in your electoral area.
And that's what...
Not running a national campaign.
No, all my campaigns, the anti-water tax campaign or whatever other local campaigns that we run, the campaign for to keep the swimming pool open, the Shamrock's Armistry, to fund the
My point room is, hall. Surely it's for active issues in your locality. That's what the expenses are for. Yeah. Not to run a national campaign into the Dáil.
But they can't get any more active than the campaigns that I'm involved in locally against the water tax, against keeping Shamrock pool open. In trying to open St. Vincent's Pool, they can't get any more on the ground.
You spent €15,000 for posters and on your election expenses to get you in as a TD.
To represent the people who in my constituency, I've gone round door to door to convince them of a better way of politics.
Okay, so 15,000 of taxpayers' expenses, and then how much in fundraising and so on?
Probably about a third of that.
A third. So it's actually 10,000 of taxpayers' expenses and 5,000 fundraising. Okay. David McGuinness, how do you fund it?
Right. I don't fund it very well because I have a very small funded campaign. But I tell you one thing, it's a lot less than what Fianna Fáil has spent on stamp addressed envelopes to the constituency this time. It's a lot less than Fianna Fáil and Labour have spent on bus shelter advertisements and whatnot.
Yeah.
Look,
you've made that point, all right? That's fair enough.
Yes.
And I did say you don't have party structures behind your fund.
I never did, by the way, actually. Yeah. When I became a councillor in 2009 and then re-elected in 2014, I had to borrow heavily then as well and pay back.
Have you borrowed now?
Not this time, thankfully. I have from family and friends, but again...
How much have you spent on your campaign, do you mind?
It would be no more than probably €5,000 or €6,000. I don't have it.
That'd hardly get you a handful of posters.
Well, look, that's when I'm trying to break that model. You know, in fairness, it's really difficult.
So where do you get your attention from then?
Well, I have about 7,500 people on Facebook. I've about 450 posters up. I have a couple of billboards around the place. I've leafleted every door in the constituency by hand with my team. You know, we're going back to community style politics.
How many people work on your team?
We'd have about 10 to 15. It is difficult, but they give me a lot of hours. But it is.
Who are they? Family and friends.
Family and friends and people I've helped out over the past couple of years through the council.
Anybody disaffected from Fianna Fáil when you left?
Well, no.
They even joined you.
A couple of people did. And thankfully, a person who did leave Fianna Fáil was a person who served the late Brian Lennon for about 20 years in the constituency, Marion Quinlan. And she nominated me from a position. But again, that's a community-based initiative.
Deirdre, how are you funding your campaign?
A small credit union loan, driving a 99D Mazda 626. Family and friends and my army of mums. I've got two kids in school and a lot
of mums.
How much
are you spending?
We've gone over budget because we've just had to compete with the big boys. So all in all, we'll have spent about 15 grand.
15 grand?
Yeah.
Is that all alone?
No. As I say, we had some savings and
it's expensive.
We needed a new car instead. We're driving in 1990 Mazda 626 to pay for the election.
Well, at least you have a new car.
And I don't have my face on the side of it.
Yeah. Well, come here to me. Do you feel you're at a disadvantage then against the bigger parties?
But you know, it's so funny. And if I could just make the point as well, I have former Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil helping me out as well. Do you know, the amount of people who say to you, I've noticed your posters because there's far less of them than everybody else's. You have to have posters. I don't care what anybody says.
Is David McGuinness in trouble then? He has only a handful, he says.
He's got billboards too. I don't have billboards.
Where did you get the money for billboards, David?
No, you just spend your money wisely while little you
Your family and friends have very, very deep pockets.
They do, We all got mortgages, very big mortgages.
How much is a billboard?
You can get them for in around 25 to 45 euro, depending on what kind of style you want.
Get out of it. €25 for a billboard.
It's only curry board. Each poster on the pole costs between 5 and 10 euros, so there's only about three of those aside. Just don't cut them down the centre.
Deirdre, you've been ripped off. You spent 15,000 on billboards?
Oh, no. We only spent about 4 grand on posters, and then the rest is leaflets and advertising. And
how much have you spent on a billboard?
Oh, no, I haven't put...
Nothing. Have you looked into it?
No, I will now. I'll tell you.
It's only 45 euros. Yeah. Tommy Bruin, how are you funding yours?
Basically, I suppose, from my own savings. I mean, I was lucky enough to have a reasonably good job up to 3 weeks ago. So I've done a bit of saving. And
you're paid almost three times the average industrial wage. Is that right?
I think it would be about that.
Yeah.
Well, we were kind of pegged to principal officer. And then I think it was assistant principal.
Okay, so you had a wad of cash stashed away.
Not really. I mean, I found it's been hard enough because... Well, my own experience in politics is that you kind of have always had to subsidise politics, and you know, particularly maybe in the party era.
And how much are you spending?
It's running at the moment at about maybe 12,500-13,000.
Is it? It's a fair whack of money. Brendan Young, how are you funding your one?
Fundraising events, like Kieran mentioned, race nights, donations, etc. We did a little bit of online fundraising. We're very careful about where we take money from. It's all tracked and accounted for. I'd say we're spending about seven and a half thousand. That's about it.
Do you feel you're at a disadvantage as opposed to parties?
I think people may be reacting against the overkill, particularly of the big parties. The all-pervading presence of big boards are—it's not only presenting the person; it's an indicator of the amount of money that's there. And people with big money tend to hang around with people with big money and serve them. But I'd just like to comment on one of the
10 seconds.
One of the tweets on breaking the law. There wouldn't be votes for women today if the law wasn't broken. And currently the law is being broken in relation to the abortion pill being given out and used. Okay. And that needs to be broken.
Okay, yeah,
and
made that point. My thanks then to our panel this evening, Brendan Young, David McGuinness, Deirdre O'Donovan, Kieran Perry and Tommy Bruin, and earlier Dr. Liam Weeks of UCC. Good luck on the canvas, everyone, whether you're inside a party or outside a party, in an alliance or simply independent. Mwichus liver fad, gurumid mhangab azocht, eishtucht bamadirashilisht, amorach arangloresho, egidechlo, kujishin, slon agus banacht.